Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
So for industry review this week, we're delving into the world of sound engineering and sound production. As Ireland continues to be at the forefront of some of the biggest creative industries around the world, I'm going to hear now from three people in different areas about how it's evolved and what the challenges might be for the future. I'm delighted to welcome to the show the CEO of Windmill Lane Recording Studios, Naomi Moore, is with us. Also joining us is Barry Reid. He's from Guerrilla Post Production. And also joining us is sound engineer and designer at Blast Audio, Will Farrell. So I'm looking forward to this chat because this is an area, I know maybe a small bit about it, but I think it's a very undersung industry. I think you guys are doing a lot of stuff out there. So maybe we might start with you, Naomi. Windmill Lane,
yeah.
Again, great history. Mm-hmm. We all know about the U2 albums and all that's happened there. But tell us a little bit about the business, firstly, and how you got involved in it, secondly.
Ooh, yeah, way back. So I think the business itself started off in 1978 in Windmill Lane, started by James Morrison, Brian Masterson. And they decided they wanted to build something that they might attract acts to hear. They were always going to the UK to do it. So they started up, and I think between their talents, a little known band called U2 came in and recorded the album Boy. And I think that really launched the studios internationally then, and people came along from Def Leppard and people like that came. And I think there was some tax breaks which helped as well. Yeah. Those kind of elements. But I think the studio was so brilliant, it came. And since then, you know, since 1978, then it moved from Windmill Lane to Ringsend Road in 1990. That's where we've been since. And it's been a recording studio since, with everybody from the Rolling Stones through the Cranberries up to Hozier and, you know, orchestral work and things like that. So,
and there are a couple of other arms to the business now, because you've got a college and you also run tours.
We do. Yeah, so the college end, we got into the college end before we took over Windmill Lane in 2009, the three of us, myself, Tony Perry and Aidan Alcock, our three partners. So we've been together for 30 years. We did some other studio up in Camden Street before that. So we got into college, the education quite early. And some of the other guys that are here, some of their employees are past students. So,
which is great.
So it's great. The education end is great because it's another stream to the company, but also keeps bringing new talents because we're training sound engineers and music producers. And we teach game animation.
Okay.
That element. And then the tours we started in 2020, and that's been going great. It's great.
Okay, stay with us. We'll talk to Barry Reid now, the founder of Guerrilla Post Productions. Barry, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks,
Bobby. Now, you're a man who started this business, I suppose, out of necessity. You were let go from a job and you said, what am I going to do now? And you said, you know what, I'm going to do this myself.
Well, yeah, I guess I was probably like a lot of kids doing sound engineering. I kind of came from a music background. And then I kind of fell into post. I had 5 years experience in post-production with like TV and film and a lot of animation post. And then, yeah, the crash happened in 2009 and I was let go, like a lot of other people in the industry. So I was only 30 then. And I didn't have much choice. The freelance market wasn't great. So I kind of rang a few clients, said, look, if I get a premises, and rent back then, it was for nothing, very cheap setup costs. And I rang a few clients and said, yeah, we'll back you if you get a good place in a good area. And went from there.
Good man. And did, like, from, I suppose, straight up recording studios, you've developed out the service you give now to clients.
Yeah. So what else do you do? So we do picture post-production as well.
Right.
So we kind of started off as just myself, and then 2 years later, saw an opportunity to go into video posts, because a lot of our clients were saying, look, can you do editing and finishing on the picture side? I was like, no, I don't really do that yet. So I kind of thought to myself, maybe that's an opportunity that I decided to go into. And then a couple of years later, got a second premises and, you know, cabled the two buildings together and, you know, had a kind of under one roof kind of solution. And then bit by bit, 17 years now, so we're now in a new premises now on Lower Mound Street, where we have everything under one roof, recording studios, editing suites, VFX, grading, all that kind of thing.
Wow. So, and maybe just remind us, Barry, how important, you know, TV recordings here, film productions happening here. The scale of it is quite ginormous, is it not?
Yeah, I guess when I started out in 2009, it was kind of just beginning to see the kind of fruits of a lot of the kind of investment from the government, really, in Section 481, the tax credit. And that has really kind of helped the industry kind of grow. So I've seen in the last 16 years, 17 years, there's been a huge uplift to the industry. A lot of US productions come here to shoot, and a lot of the posts is done here in Ireland as well. And a big one is the animation sector, which has really kind of seen an uplift there too.
Yeah,
in the last, say,
right.
20 years. So,
okay, yeah. Let's talk to Will Farrell. Thanks for waiting patiently, Will. I know you were also a bit like Barry. You came the music route. You were into music,
yeah,
digital arts, and you decided to move into sound.
Yeah, so I realised kind of post was the area I wanted to focus in. So I worked my way through the studios all around Dublin. So COVID happened, and I was already trying to figure out kind of remote working anyway before that, and kind of gifted an opportunity to do something. So I built a studio at home and set up Blast there, and then COVID ended, and then I moved back into town to Merrion Square, and now a neighbour of the guys as well.
So. Yeah. So you a lot of your work centres around high profile ads. I know you do ads for our sponsor here, Bank of Ireland. They'd be delighted to hear that. But you know, things like the Denny sausages ad, Dunn's Stores Christmas ad. These are big productions, are they not?
They are, yeah. And there's a lot of cross pollination. Like the music for the Dunn's ad, for instance, was recorded in Windmill Lane. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so there's we kind of know a lot of each other, our different employees through the industry as well. So yeah, we'd all kind of know each other.
Yeah. And did you say that you know, people are now have a kind of a DIY approach? So are a lot of people self-producing or using technology, I suppose, to record?
On the music side, definitely. You know, and Naomi can probably speak to that as well. But a lot of like, you know, even artists have their own studio at home, and they can produce really high quality stuff even in their home studios. And some guys in post as well have their own.
Yeah.
There are kind of sole trader types in our end, myself and post working, that have their own studios at home.
A lot of voiceover stuff
that's
done kind of at home as well. But
I think you can go to a certain stage as well, though. I mean, there is some brilliant recordings that can be done at home, but we do a lot of orchestral recordings. We can fit an 80-piece orchestra. You can't do that at home. So those kind of things are great.
And to get a full band together. Is that a threat to the business, or is it you just need to do maybe different things?
You just got to duck and dive and, you know, change with technology and do something different with it and attract different audiences and different groups.
I lost a job last week. I mentioned no names, but it was basically, it was an animation series, and it went to a vendor who has his own home studio. So I asked the clients, like, look, what's your budget there? And they gave me the budget. I was like, okay, fair enough. So, you know, it suits, say, smaller kind of operations to offer a serious deal.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, other facilities couldn't really, you can't really compete, and you don't want to, because it's also weekend work, and it's, you know, so it's, you know, at times it's not worth bringing your staff in at weekends for a very low price. And so, that's
one of the things I wanted to look at here was this tax incentive that the government provide. Like, you know, people are always very quick to be critical of the government, but I would suggest that this initiative where the Irish government offer 32% tax credit for a film, TV and animation is one of the highest in the world. So you can get 32% of your production costs back against your tax bill, which, if it's I believe 20% in LA. So does that mean?
Well, for us as a recording studio, we don't get any tax breaks. The clients coming in will, but I think in the UK, actually, industry, the Music Producers Guild in the UK are lobbying for tax credits for recording studios and venues,
right?
To bring down the rates, because we've got such big buildings, and that would help the industry.
Yeah, but am I right in saying then that if it's 20% in LA that you're getting, and you get 32% here? I think I saw the argument that it's cheaper to bring 100 people to Ireland than to film in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Is that actually the case?
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen that a lot in the post world and film and television. So, you know, my biggest concern was, like, you know, would Trump actually, you know, increase his tax incentives to kind of keep work in California? But there's kind of a conflict of interest in terms of how much California wants to take from subsidies and how much you can actually afford to run itself. So Ireland has been a real kind of beneficiary of the tax credits, and the Irish government has been very, very kind of supportive of the industry.
And the strikes that were in LA, again, we heard about them, but, you know, it's getting down into businesses like yours where the impact is probably really felt on the ground.
Yeah, I think in post, definitely. So the industry has boomed basically since the pandemic, and then the strikes hit at a time where the streamers and broadcasters were pulling back anyway because they'd overspent because the demand for content during the pandemic was huge. So the whole industry felt the pullback. Yeah. And it's only the last, say, couple of months that we're kind of feeling a bit of an uplift again. So the strikes kind of had a ripple effect throughout the whole industry across the world. Like London in particular was badly affected as well, you know.
Yeah. Now, I mean, when we talk about bands and we look at, you know, the big bands now on the world stage, you know, like the U2s, the Coldplays, is there a fear that there isn't bands coming through at that level, that we're not getting these super groups anymore?
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes back to streaming, and that, you know, bands will make their living through touring. They don't, you know, through record sales. So coming back to something like a tax credit to keep venues going would be really, really important because that's where the bands are coming through and learning their trade. So yeah, I'd be worried because there's nowhere for bands to get that big audience that they would have gotten before. But yeah, I mean, no, there are bands coming through now, and I think something like the Guinness's Netflix series has really put a resurgence on really good Irish music.
The music in that was fantastic.
Yeah, and those kind of bands coming through, really alternative.
But yet there was a kind of quirky Irishness.
And we're coming up with doing a new series. So we used to do Wimmer Lane sessions, like live from Wimmer Lane with emerging bands. So we're starting to do that again with another company. And there's some brilliant acts there. And they're bands, you know, so they're coming through. So I do have hope for it, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's probably, again, a lot of this has probably been driven by technology, you know, and you then have to reshape the business to adapt to what the customer actually wants.
Yeah. I mean, on TikTok, there's endless amount of artists that are home produced, and they, you know, produce their own videos online, and that's how they kind of market themselves. And, you know, so it opens up the world, really. But like, as Naomi said, like the bigger stuff, you still need the professional space and, you know, professional engineering. But there is another world out there that you can actually do things at low cost.
What about the costs, Will, of setting up a business? Like, all this stuff doesn't come cheap.
Not at all, but like, we love buying gear anyway. So it's like nice to work in these environments. But like, in terms of like people doing stuff on their phones and at home and stuff like that, you can let it get you down, or else you can just try and put your head down and just deliver the best thing you can and show that you are much better than what the quality of someone doing something at home is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I generally don't dwell on it too much. I just kind of put the head down and keep busy.
You do a lot of your own voiceovers as well, do you?
I do. Yeah. I don't know where you're at. I do a little bit. I'll throw the voice into the background of something if it's needing it. Definitely.
That's a way of keeping costs down.
Oh yeah.
You know what,
well,
I mean?
That too. Yeah. But bringing stuff to life as well, like that's kind of part of our thing. It's like you'll be given a brief on something, but you've got to add your bit to it to make this world come to life. So
give it a bit of personality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll do whatever we can music wise or throwing our own voices in, sound design, going in, recording whatever we have to record to make it real.
Naomi, how feasible is it for a band that's maybe just getting going, you know, the logistics around recording something? Walk us through that process. That might happen.
Again, like, it is really, really important to keep the new bands coming through. And one of the things that we have with the college, and we train sound engineers and music producers, they're bringing in new bands and young bands as well. So we do unsign acts for bands, so it makes it very feasible for them to come in and actually record. Yeah. And then they can work their way up the scale to do higher productions. But no, it is doable, yeah.
There's a text here that says, "What do you see on the Wilmer Lane tour?"
Oh yeah, you see lots of stuff. Yeah, so it's an hour tour and it's great. It's really, really good. So it kind of came because a lot of, you know, once U2 was in town or any big band, we'd have loads of people outside the front door. So we just said, look, we'll let them in. We'll issue 150 tickets and see if they're interested. So within 24 hours, we had 3,000 people looking for tickets and changing flights from Australia and everything. Yeah. So we've developed the tour, and COVID gave us a great time to develop it really well. So we go through the whole history, and you can mix a virtual band, and there's a big client finale, and it's wonderful. So yeah, you can get on and book tickets, and you know, usually there's either the tour guides have a big interest in music and everything that's going on in there, so you're getting some little secrets,
a bit of nostalgia,
not too
as well.
Much secrets,
there's a load of text about AI. I suppose it is the elephant in the room. With the advent of AI, live music and live theatre are going to be the last bastion of live entertainment, where people can believe what they see. watch this space, it's going to be huge again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a positive for the industry. Another texter, Jamie, asks, is AI going to harm the industry? What are your thoughts on that, Barry?
There's a lot of skeptic
noise.
Yeah, I'd say I'm kind of in between. I think it could be disruptive. The way I look at it from a sound engineer's point of view is that if AI, say for example, there's a magic wand and it hit auto mix, well, you know, in a best case scenario from a jobs point of view, that will mean that cost of production get lower. You can push through more volume, then staff will be fine because, you know, if costs are low, demand tends to be higher. And then
so they just do different work.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of conversation about, like, well, how good can an auto mix be? Because it's very subjective, as Will would know.
There's also a kickback against, oh, that was generated by AI, so it's not creative.
Yeah.
Like, you got to play that card as well.
Yeah, I guess, from an artistic point of view, From a technical point of view, it's
what are your thoughts, Will?
Yeah, I mean, like, for us, we will use it as much as a tool as possible, but you can't, like, I don't know, personally, I can always tell that something isn't, there's something not right, and there is no life in it. But, yeah, I mean, like, we'll use it as a tool, but I don't think it's going to affect our end of the industry, but too much.
As someone says, you're not going to lose your job to AI, but you could lose it to somebody using AI.
Well, that's a big thing.
I think that's the thing maybe to be more mindful of.
Yeah. I think people still want people, you know, and people have to identify with people, and no one's going to go and see an AI gig, like your first texter said. You know, people want to go and see a band.
I think, the thing is what people deem acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If people start getting used to AI, then that's probably the problem.
Yeah, if AI music becomes a big thing, then it's like, that's quite a depressing thought, you know.
It is, because already you've got, you know, the business model, you know, the artists have got squeezed by Spotify.
Yep.
And
yep.
So, like, if ultimately the creator can make no money or make no income, it's a bad for everybody.
Yeah.
It's just going to end in tears.
Exactly, yeah.
Because,
and I don't think we have an answer for it at the minute. I think we have to see how...
Yeah,
try to be positive about it.
Right. Yeah.
But in just maybe to finish on a positive then, the future of the industry looks sound. There's certainly a lot of activity in town between films, animation, maybe bands recording.
Mm-hmm.
It had dipped, like there was a bit of a, like I said earlier on, since the strikes, there had been a pullback, and it's just kind of gradually kind of lifting off now. But yeah, we're certainly at Gorilla looking at a very healthy year.
All right. So. Well, look, it's been good to get into your world. I want to thank Naomi Moore of Windmill Lane, Barry Reid of Gorilla Post Productions, and Will Farrell from Blast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And let me get
into your world.
Yeah.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.